As with all question times, the rule is there's no such thing as a stupid question. Just be brave and ask it, because other people are thinking it anyway. Or you can say, I've got a friend who wants to know X, Y, Z. And just raise your hands and ask away.
I assume that you're going to keep track of who's put their hand up in the air. Thanks, Ben.
Yep. Yep.
Was the word scriptures mentioned in the Old Testament? That's a very good question. I'd have to go back to a concordance to check that out. That is, the concordance is a list of the words that are mentioned in the Old Testament. The word scriptures is actually just the word for graphē, which means something that is written. And so I would certainly assume there may be other people who could find a reference to the word scriptures in the Old Testament here. If you can, call it out. The Old Testament, certainly, as it was being written, there's a more complicated process of the Old Testament than it is for the New Testament, which I just don't particularly have time to go into here. But again, as it was being written, it was being recognised through the history of Israel as sacred writings. No one's found a reference to the word scripture in the Old Testament, but if you do, you can call it out. I can give you certainly in the book of Nehemiah, which is close to the end of the Old Testament, or in the sense of the history of the Old Testament. It's actually not close to the end of the books that are assembled in the Old Testament, because they're not quite assembled in chronological order. But in the book of Nehemiah, in chapter 8, verse 3. Thank you very much, Warren. There we go. On the first day, so I'll start from verse 2. We're in page 476 of the Red Bibles if you want to look it up. On the first day of the seventh month, Ezra, the priest, brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak till noon as he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women and others who could understand. I assume that means children. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. So there is the book of the law. That would be most likely the books of Moses, which are being read, and people are listening very attentively to them as sacred scripture. So even if the word isn't there, yes, Warren?
Also in 2 Kings chapter 22, it talks about King Josiah rediscovering the book of the law.
Of course, 2 Kings chapter 22, yes. That's a very important part of the history of Israel, where Josiah discovers the book of the law. He's excavating the temple, he's rebuilding the temple, refurbishing it. He finds this book of the law, and this book of the law is the scriptures of God, and it actually revolutionises the way that Josiah runs the entire kingdom, because he sees it as so important as being God's word. So, yeah. Has that gone beyond the question? But yeah.
Yo, Dave.
Yes.
Where they aren't sure of maybe two or three options, are they listed in the Bibles that we have?
So David's question was, I'll just repeat it for those who maybe on MP3 land, but also people here. The ancient documents that we have at our disposal, sometimes we can't actually work out whether, you know, they're different, and we can't actually quite work out what the original was. Now, David's question was, do we have access, are they listed in our modern translations of the Bible? And the answer to that is sometimes they are and sometimes they're not. They're often in footnotes. I'm just looking down here at just the page that just happened to fall open in front of me, and just looking at one, because there's quite a few of these lists here. And we've got 2 Chronicles chapter 35, page 456. If you want to look it up, you can. Footnote E, and it's related to verse 9, which talks about Jehoiachin was 18 years old when he became king, and one Hebrew manuscript says he was 18 years old. Some Septuagint manuscripts and the Syriac, see also 2 Kings chapter 24 verse 8, but most Hebrew manuscripts say 8. So they've decided to translate it 18, but they want to acknowledge that there's a whole bunch of other manuscripts that say 8. Now, that's a reasonably important difference if you're into the ages of the kings of ancient Israel, but it doesn't. It's not one of those things that affects whether Jesus rose from the dead or not.
Yeah, Lindsay.
Yes. Let's look that up, because that's a good one to see. Mark chapter 16. It's on page 989. And here's a whole half a chapter of Mark's Gospel. This is probably one of the biggest ones. Yeah, the biggest ones where we can't quite work it out. But do you see there, Mark chapter 16? There's a big line after verse 8. And then there's a little footnote. The most reliable early manuscripts and other ancient witnesses do not have Mark chapter 16, verses 9 to 20. So what they're saying is there they've included it. In this case, they've included it mainly because of tradition, I think, because a lot of other Bibles have it. But they just want to alert you to the fact that you probably shouldn't base any major articles of the Christian faith on this bit, because we're just not sure. Another question, Lindsay? Thanks.
I have a question as well. I was once interviewing a group of Mormons, there were three men with me. On their third visit, they were getting quite frustrated with my arguments, not to become part of yet another organisation.
Yes. Okay. How do you handle three Mormons? Sounds like a joke, doesn't it? But how do you handle three Mormons who say that the Bible has been translated 400 times or something that you shouldn't rely on? Yes. Okay. Just going into a little detail about the Mormons. This is maybe for some interest. I've had a bit of experience with them. They use the King James Version of the Bible, which was the Bible that was translated in 1603, I think, but back in the early 17th century, and it was sort of the authorised version of the Church of England of the time. And it was translated pretty well, but it wasn't based on all the available manuscripts at the time. But that's all right, it's a pretty good version. But it's very Old English. But it sounds very... It's got these and thous and holy sort of language in it. Now, the King James Version of the Bible has got all these sort of old language. The Mormons actually said, no, there's a whole bunch of other scriptures, a lot like the Gnostics. The Mormons are the modern-day Gnostics, if you want to put them that way. They said, okay, God's revealed all this other secret knowledge to us, and here it comes, and it came from heaven on gold plates translated by Joseph Smith. Very interesting, if you want to see that. Look at the history, not really history, the myth. And what they say is, and interestingly, Joseph Smith... the bits that he wrote in the modern sort of, in the 19th century, were also in the Old English that sounded very much like the King James Version of the Bible. And so they have very much a vested interest in the King James Version of the Bible as opposed to the modern Bible translations, because their Book of Mormon sounds a lot like the King James Version of the Bible. In fact, there's a lot of verses that are almost exactly the same, interestingly. But I think you would just need to understand them. You would need to love them. So I wouldn't necessarily get angry with them and throw them out, although you may want to meet them on neutral territory rather than in your home. But also just be confident that the New International Version has been translated from the ancient documents, and it is not an up-to-date, modernised version of the King James Version, which is what many people seem to think, and they're just wrong. That was a long, convoluted answer, wasn't it? Sorry about that.
Helpful nonetheless. Don't feel shy. We can still have another question if you've really got one. Is that a... And Hannah, yes, yeah. Hannah.
I know that the Catholics have a longer Bible than you.
Yes.
So it seems that all agreed on your book in the Bible. Why is it more?
Yes. Okay. That's a very good question, Hannah. The Roman Catholic Church has, in a sense, a longer Bible, or it's got more books in it. So what's going on? I thought it's always been the same since the beginning. Now, to go into a little bit more detail, when those councils were making decisions about which books of the Bible were sort of actually scripture and which weren't, there was a whole bunch of other writings that people just found helpful. Helpful in their devotional life, helpful just, you know, to give them a bit of extra history about the bits in between the Old Testament and New Testament, just helpful. And so they were categorised as helpful books. They weren't categorised as, you know, like the Gnostic Gospels as basically being nothing to do with Jesus, but they weren't called scripture. They were called helpful books. Apocrypha is the official title. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has a different view of scripture to what we have, because their view of scripture is that it is not the sole authority of God. That is, God speaks both through the Bible, according to the Roman Catholics, God speaks both through the Bible and through the institution of the church. And he speaks through both of those interacting. And what that means is it sort of blurs the line between what is actually scripture and what is helpful. Because if God can speak equally through, you know, the church, through the institution, through the people of the church, then those extra books in the Apocrypha sort of can blur into scripture. And so the Roman Catholic Church will publish Bibles that also have the Apocrypha in them, those helpful books, and will, it's just a bit blurry. Now, Roman Catholicism will not say that the Apocrypha is of equal status to those books. And even if you want to go back to the 39 articles of the Church of England, you can look at those there in the back of your green prayer books, actually. If you...
Page 628.
There we go. What a multi-talented man. He can be both mythbuster, guitarist, service leader, and prayer book looker-upper. There it is, page 628. Thank you. And you can see here, they have listed the actual canonical books. Canon means rule, the actual scriptural books. And can you see there, page 628 of the Green Prayer Books, and the other books, as Jerome saith, the church doth read, for example, of life and instruction of manners, but yet doth it not apply them to establish any doctrine, such are these the following. And there's interesting books in there. One's called Bell and the Dragon, which I've always wanted to get around to reading.
I think...
Out of time?
Yep, out of time. Fine. Thank you very much, Lionel. Now, am I right in saying that we've had all this session recorded on MP3? Is that correct? Yes. And there is information in your bulletins that you would have got at the door that tells you how you can download both the sermon and the question time we've just had. Well, we've heard...